From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Peter's Vision, part of a series of studies in the book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
The text for this morning is found in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Consider who we were, and what we feel ourselves to be even now, when corruption is powerful in us, and you will wonder at our adoption. Yet we are called the sons of God. What a high relationship is that of a son, and what privileges it brings! What care and tenderness the son expects from his father, and what love the father feels toward the son! But all that, and more than that, we now have through Christ. As for the temporary drawback of suffering with the elder brother, this we accept as an honor. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are content to be unknown with him in his humiliation, for we are to be exalted with him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That is easy to read, but it is not so easy to feel. How is it with your heart this morning? Are you in the lowest depths of sorrow? Does corruption rise within your spirit, and grace seem like a poor spark trampled underfoot? Does your faith almost fail you? Fear not. It is neither your graces nor feelings on which you are to live. You must live simply by faith on Christ. With all these things against us, now, in the very depths of sorrow, wherever we may be, now, as much in the valley as on the mountain, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Ah, but you say, see how I am arrayed. My graces are not bright. My righteousness does not shine with apparent glory. But read the next. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. The Holy Spirit shall purify our minds, and divine power shall refine our bodies. Then shall we see him as he is.
We shall rise, hallelujah. shall see my blessed Savior, who so freely died for me. We shall rise, we shall rise,
we shall rise.
Alleluia.
We shall rise.
Amen.
We shall rise.
Alleluia. In the resurrection morning, when death's prison bars are broken,
we shall rise.
Alleluia. We shall rise. We shall rise.
We shall rise.
Hallelujah,
we shall rise.
We shall rise.
Hallelujah,
we shall rise.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Verses 9 through 20 of Acts chapter 10 form a significant focal point in the history of the early Christian church. The passage is the account of Peter's vision during which God called him to take the gospel to Cornelius the Roman centurion. As Peter obeyed the Lord's command, we see the gospel opened to the Gentile world with no requirement to obey the Levitical and ceremonial law. In dealing with the passage, Dr. Cairns uses what Peter saw, heard, learned, and did to set forth God's pattern of belief and practice for his church.
The sheet let down from heaven signified that the law's rituals have their end in Christ. Peter heard the voice of God and set us an example of immediate obedience. Today we'll see what Peter learned about God's grace. Now to continue this message called Peter's Vision, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now the moral law remains the standard of life and the rule of life. It is just as wrong today for a Christian to break one of the Ten Commandments, and let me emphasize all Ten Commandments, including the fourth, including the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is just as wrong today for a Christian to break one commandment as ever it was. But as a justification, as a means of attaining righteousness, the law has its end in Christ. And furthermore, the ceremonial law has its fulfillment in Christ. And therefore in Colossians 3, Paul is remonstrating with the Christians there. If I may paraphrase him quickly, he says, "Why are you bound by such things as taste not, and touch not, and handle not? These things are all to perish. They're past. They have their fulfillment in Christ." And this was something that Peter had to learn. And of course, there is a vast tract of doctrinal teaching in that. But, and this to me is very, very important, he had to learn here when he saw this vision, something about grace. It was significant in its teaching about grace. I think this is the whole purpose of the vision. If you want to sum up in a sentence, what does this vision mean? And after all, this is what Peter was wanting to know. He wondered in himself, he doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen would mean. And we find that he comes to know what it means, as I'll show you from verse 28 in a little minute or two. The message was that the heathen world was to be a partaker of the grace of God. That was the message of the vision. The heathens were to be partakers of the grace of God. Now look at verse 11. He sees a great sheet come down, knit at the four corners. Now, those who study biblical remind us that four is the number of universality. You have the four main points of the compass. We talk about the four corners of the earth. And I think that it's not stretching things at all to see in the four corners of the great sheet knit that you have the four corners of the earth. I think there is the thought of universality very clearly here. And it reminds me of Romans chapter 11 and in verse 32. God hath concluded all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now that was the significance of what Peter saw. I mentioned verse 28. Look at the last sentence in the verse. God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, to Peter, the gospel was ultimately to reach the Gentiles. Peter knew that. I don't need to go into Scripture to prove that. He knew the gospel was going to reach the Gentiles. But he imagined that the Gentiles were going to join the Jewish church, and by the rite of circumcision and by their becoming proselytes of Judaism, they would enter into the church in that way. That's how the early disciples saw it all working out. And now the Lord is teaching him that that is not the way it's to be. He's teaching him, as I've said, that the ceremonies have an end in Christ, and that the Gentiles are to be made partakers of grace without the rite of circumcision and without becoming proselytes to Judaism. Now that was hard for Peter to understand. It was hard for Peter to take. And this is why the Lord showed him this vision of animals, clean and unclean, coming down out of heaven. Clean and unclean in his estimation. Because Peter saw something that day. Nothing that comes down out of heaven can be anything else but clean. And it was taken back up into heaven. So therefore nothing that goes into heaven can be nothing else or anything else but clean. And Peter was being shown clearly in this vision that the Gentiles were not to be called common. They were not to be called unclean because they were uncircumcised and because they were not members of Judaism. There's a very interesting parallel when you go back to Genesis chapter 7. You'll find in verse 2 that the Lord told Noah to bring seven of all clean beasts into the ark and two of all the unclean into the ark. There they come. And you'll find the clean and the unclean ceremonially in the ark. Now you find the very same thing in the sheet that the Lord let down to Peter. And there you have two majestic images of the universality of the grace of God. That it's not for the Jew only, but it's for the world of sinners lost, of whatever tribe or tongue or nation they may be. And then this vision signified something regarding service. The vision has been rightly called by one commentator a mirror for missions among the heathen. And I would like you to see in that vision this morning what the Lord has to say about our service. In verse 19, at the end of the verse, the Spirit says to Peter, "Behold, three men seek thee." Can you get the picture? The heathen world, the world of lost sinners who have been neglected, who have been cared or given up as unworthy of being cared for. They could say, "No man cared for my soul." The heathen world who had been avoided are standing knocking at the door of the child of God and the church of God. They're standing knocking for the preaching of the gospel of sovereign grace. That's the picture. Three men knocking at the door. It is truly what Paul later saw, a Macedonian call. Come over and help us. Come to us with the gospel. It is the appeal that the word of the truth of the gospel would be brought. And therefore, Peter receives a divine commission to go to them. Now here, truly, you've got a tremendous picture of gospel missions. Their heavenly origin, verse 11, it originates, gospel missioning originates from the Lord. He says from heaven, in this vision, in effect, you've got to go. You'll notice the vast field in verse 12. It's the whole earth, symbolized by all these different beasts. It's the whole earth. My friend, one great missionary preacher once said, that some Christians, a few Christians, have a vision of their own family or for their own family. Sadly, many Christians don't even have a vision for their own family. Many parents can sit back at ease in Zion while their children tramp madly to hell, and they never weep over them, and they never pray over them, and they never show them the love of Christ. Some have a vision for their own family. Less have a vision. You'll notice the severe labor. Verse 13, you rise, you kill, and eat. In other words, there's many things you could say about that. There's a work of death before there's eating and enjoyment of the blessing of God. The gospel preacher goes to slay men before he sees them brought into saving relationship in Christ. The gospel is a message of death to pride, death to prejudice, death to lust, death to sin. And then it's a gospel message of life in Christ. Of course, it's true of the preacher and the servant too. If you would ever eat, as it were, if you would ever enjoy leading souls to Christ, then there's got to be death. There's got to be doing that which the flesh rebels from. Peter didn't want to do this. And my friend, if you are ever going to be anything for God, then there's going to be a doing of what you don't want to do. There's going to be a breaking of the carnal will. There's going to be a molding of your whole outlook to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kill and eat. There's severe labor here. And then there's a divine promise implied in verse 15. God has cleansed them. There is a great work of cleansing by the Lord across the world. God has a people out of every tribe, tongue, and kindred and nation. And the gospel preacher and the gospel preaching church and mission can go forward in confidence, knowing that the Lord is going to bring his people in. And the Lord is going to give good success to the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, very quickly, that's what Peter saw. Quickly again, what he heard. Verse 13 through to 15, rise, kill and eat. And then verse 15, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Verse 19, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek thee, arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This is what he heard. You notice he heard the voice of God. Now, my friend, you are not made a preacher, and you are not made a missionary by education. You can be educated. And I suppose that you should be. When you listen to me, you say, I wish he had been. No doubt. But let me tell you, you're made a servant of God when you hear the voice of God. It's the call of God. The curse of Christendom today is preachers who have run without being sent. Men who are in behind the sacred desk because it affords them a living. My, I detest the terminology of the Episcopal Church in England, which talks about the minister's work as his living. The Lord help me if I couldn't get a better living than preaching. I'm not preaching for a living. I am called of God to preach. The only reason I preach is because God made it impossible for me to do anything else. My friend, he heard the voice of God. Oh, for ears to hear the voice of the Lord as he gives us a call to do his will, directs us to bring the gospel of grace to a world that's lost in sin. What he heard, and I want to tell you, when God calls you, it hurts the flesh. What he heard shattered his earthly pride, his earthly prejudice, and his earthly priorities. When God calls a man, he just turns his life around. He turns him upside down and inside out, and he makes him what the Lord wants him to be. It's no longer I, but the Lord. It's no longer my will, but God's will. It's no longer my plan, but God's plan. It's no longer but my comfort, but God's glory that matters. That's what Peter was learning. And then he heard the Lord lay down the divine order of service. I've already mentioned this. Kill and then eat. An awful lot of people want the joy of success before there's the hard labor and the hard endurance of all the preparatory work. That which is hard in the flesh must be endured, and it must be joyfully endured if we're going to eat of the fruit of our labor. Then verse 19 and 20, notice the words, especially doubting nothing. Go with these men, doubting nothing. Now Peter, we read a little before, was doubting in himself what the vision meant. And the Lord says, stop your doubting, Peter, and go. That was a challenge to faith. To set out and go. But what's involved, Lord? Doesn't matter to you what's involved. When the Lord called Peter here, he didn't know what it was leading to. He didn't know what all the repercussions were going to be. All he knew was the Lord says, Peter, don't doubt me. Just follow me. Just obey me. Just do what I tell you to do. Go and do it. Now, that's one of the hardest things for a Christian to learn. It's no easier for a preacher than for anybody else, just to set out obeying the Lord. But Lord, if I obey thee, how am I going to live? Where's the money going to come from? When I set out to preach, I was just a young fellow, of course, when the Lord called me, and I was just starting in business, but I had fair prospects. Fair prospects. I don't think I was ever going to be a business tycoon or anything like that, but I had fair prospects. And when the Lord called me, of course, how are you going to live in the free church? The free church had churches that could hardly afford to keep their doors open. Every now and again, the presbytery, when it met, had to have a special collection just to pay the debts that were accruing in one little church so that it could keep its doors open. The moderator was earning a total of about $15 to $20 a week. So what was a new student going to get? Lord, what will we do? Let me tell you, that's none of my business. None of my business at all. And I can honestly say, thank God, that never turned a hair in my head or worried me for one second. That's the Lord's business. I'm not employed by a church. I'm not employed by people, and they are finally the ones who hold my purse strings, and I must pander and do what they want and not what the Lord wants so that I live. If it ever came to that, I'd rather be a garbage collector around Greenville than a preacher. Because I tell you this, the Lord says, you just go. That's the challenge of faith. You go. Doesn't matter what's involved. Doesn't matter what it costs. Doesn't matter what the repercussions are going to be. Just go. That's the challenge to faith. Don't be doubting. And then verse 19 and 20 again, when God calls, the Spirit says, go. The Christian must hear and obey. He must promptly engage in labors from which flesh and blood instinctively would shrink. Call of God. I wonder, has the Lord been calling you? I wonder, has there A young man, young woman, the Lord has been dealing with you. The Lord has been speaking to you maybe about a wayward life. Maybe about coldness and deadness in your life. Maybe about the lack of love and lack of burden for souls. The Lord has been prompting you. And you've been saying, but Lord, but Lord, but Lord. He's saying, look, quit the buts. Stop the doubts. Flee away from all those things that would keep you back. And just obey me. Just obey me. Wonder, is that what the Lord's been doing with you? I trust indeed he has. I'm looking for God to call young men from this church and send them out as personal workers, as door-to-door evangelists, as gospel preachers, as church planters, as missionaries in this land and to the ends of the earth. God can do it. Oh, may the Lord indeed speak and find an obedient people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.